You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
The serious side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
WWE Superstar Big Show here to tell you if you've been drinking, get a ride. Take a cab. Find another safe way to get home. Cops all across the country are cracking down on drunk driving. They will see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 Gruden Storm.
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what I do,
baby. Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the serious side.
Matt, I'm vested in this. I have a son that's 23 years old, and if he's in it, I'm in it. It goes hand in hand.
What's the mood of these protesters here?
More hopeful. I think they believe they're going to get some justice. And with saying that, they're willing to stand for the long haul.
A new poll from NBC News and the Wall Street Journal show Hillary Clinton's popularity among the general public is falling away. According to the survey, 44% of respondents say their opinion of the former First Lady are somewhat or very positive. That's down from 51% of the support that she received in a similar poll taken in September. Her negative numbers also rose over the last 8 months from 31 to 37%. When Clinton ran for the Oval Office in 2008, 46% of respondents approved of her, while 39% were opposed. The poll showed the Democratic Party is currently more popular than Republicans. Hillary's party was given 38% positive ratings, while 4 in 10 opposed Democrats. Republicans received 29% support in the poll, while 45% have an unfavorable view of the GOP.
Welcome back. The kind of case really has no winners, only lives ended and lives shattered. A jury in Texas today found a man not guilty in the murder of a drunk driver who had killed his sons.
Good morning and welcome to the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Good Sunday morning to you, folks. Today is August 31st, 2014, the last day of August, and you're in tune to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Of course, my name is J. Ryle, and I never share the stage by myself. Let me introduce you to our panelists. First up, she's the host of Ladies First Radio, the host of the True Purpose Development Show, and the host of a television show called Transforming Detroit in the Michigan and Canadian area. She's also the author of the book Pregnant in the Spirit. Let's say good morning to the very lovely Dr. Princess Aldea. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. How are you, Jay?
Doing great. Glad that you're here this morning.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Next up is the man who gets the first and last word here on the serious side, my right-hand man, the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, Mr. L.E.S. How are you this morning, sir?
Good morning, sir. How are you? And good morning, Dr. Adia. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Good morning.
Glad that you're here, Mr. L.E.S. Our colleague, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. We'll be here after his commitment with Clear Channel Radio. But until then, we'll keep the party going. You can participate in the conversation. The number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. We'd love to hear from you. And we have a lot on the plate this morning, so let's get right into it. First up, it's been almost 3 weeks since Ferguson police officer Darren Hill shot and killed unarmed 18-year-old Mike Brown. To date, Officer Hill is still a free man. how long will this community have to wait until the wheels of justice starts to roll? So, Mr. Elias, let me start the conversation with you, and that's the question. How long will this community have to wait until this man is brought to justice?
I'd say at least 6 months to a year, Jay. I mean,
that's a long time, Mr. Elias.
They're gonna turn slowly for this police officer, man. Trust me on that one. Trust me. I say 6 months to a year. You'll see it. That, you know, before the wheels of justice start turning their hands. And that's just what's going to happen, man. I mean, I'm, you know, sorry to say that. I wish I could say something differently. But from what I'm seeing, you know, we had a police officer here in Chicago. They said back in February, jammed a gun down a young man's throat. And when he jammed a gun down the young man's throat, they finally brought him up on charges. It's been since February. So I said 6 months to a year. It's just going to happen that way. I mean, that's just the way it's going to happen, 6 months to a year. And then the Justice Department might have to step mm-hmm. in and do some damage before anything ever happens. I'm just saying. I wouldn't be surprised.
I guess the question for me, Dr. Princess Adi, is do you think this community can wait 6 months to a year before something can actually happen to this officer?
Well, not favorably, not quietly. I don't think that it'll be a quiet wait, but I agree with Mr. Elias that I think it will be about that. Absolutely. I believe that it will be about that time frame, and I don't think that people will be quiet about it because people won't see it like that. They'll think that they're just not, you know, we're getting no justice in this case, and unfortunately, that is unfortunate.
Well, what do you mean people won't see it that way? What are you saying?
I'm not saying that I'm anticipating more violence, but what I am saying is that it's not going to be a quiet wait. I mean, we're talking about it here, we're on the show, and we're saying, well, there's going to be 6 months to a year, and that's something that we can say that it sounds very realistic, and considering the judicial system and the way things operate, it's highly likely that it's just going to drag out, you know. I mean, I don't know yet, but I know the last time I heard they hadn't even taken a police report for the case. I mean, so there's a time frame, even when they're just normal civilian issues, it's about that, I would say. I mean, it could even be longer than 6 months to a year. But, I mean, yeah, conservative, you know, being very conservative in our thoughts about this, then yeah, okay, maybe 6 months to a year we'll get. At least. And I don't think it'll be quiet.
Well, okay, so then you're saying that, okay, so what do you mean by that part? That's what I'm trying to get you to give me a straight answer. Are you talking about there's going to be violence? Do you think there's going to be more protests? Do you think that it's going to continue to be, people are going to continue to be active in this process? What do you mean by not being quiet? What does that mean?
I think that they're going to be protests. I believe,
okay.
I mean, there are probably going to be a lot of people coming out, interviews where the parents or people who are supporters of this, who are advocates against what the police has done, that there's going to be a lot of noise. People are not going to be quiet. There'll be interviews. There'll be conversations. There'll probably be counts. I mean, they're going to hear it from the people the longer they take.
Okay, so you're thinking that the people will make a stand or say something because they won't sit back idly, Mr. Elias, and watch this process go, you know, without any type of activity or involvement. Do you think it'll be quiet, Mr. Elias? Do you think that people will be peaceful as they wait and be patient on the wheels of justice?
I don't know if they'll be peaceful, Jay, but what I can say is the best way to get back at those people is to vote. To vote your own interest, vote your own people in there that are going to stand for what you stand for, which is a fair justice system. That would be the only way that people are going to stand up and listen to what you got to say. Because even if they convict this officer, say they convict him and they put him away, then what happens after that? What happens when the next child is killed? So to actually make a complete stand, to do a great stand, would to get some of these people out of office. That would be the best way they could, that could be the best thing they could ever do.
So now I think the only people, when you talk about getting people out of office, I'm assuming you're talking about the mayor of Ferguson. I'm going to assume that you're talking about the police chief. I don't think the police chief is a job that's, I don't think people vote for that job. I know they vote for sheriff.
I'm talking about the prosecutor.
Okay.
The prosecutor.
Well, the prosecutor, you're right.
Yeah. So if they get him out of office, if they can get him out of office, and, you know, they'll see justice, because you know what? He's standing behind them. You know, like doing anything. You know, he's not. You know, come on, man. Let's just be honest. He's a child of a police officer that was killed in the line of duty. So what do you think he's gonna do? You know, come on, man. This case is all kind of wrongs, man. This is all kind of wrongs. So the only way these people's voices will be heard if they speak up and vote these people out of office. That would be it.
So my question to you is, Vasilius,
then they'll know it's a serious deal that they're dealing with.
So why do you think, if that's the case, and if you really and truly believe that, why do you think the governor has not made moves to have this guy removed from the case?
I couldn't answer. That, to me, that's politics at its best. Because if it was me, I'd have had him removed right from the case. And this is why I'm citing why I'm having you removed from the case. I wouldn't hesitate. And nobody, you know, I guess he's planning to maybe both sides of the coin. I don't know. But bottom line is, I would have had him removed right away and wouldn't have thought twice about it.
347-850-1272 is our call number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show. It's about 10 minutes after the hour. We're talking about Ferguson, Missouri, 3 weeks later. Now, here's the deal that's really stunning that I found just in doing some reporting or doing some research for the show, that there are six other, to read the story, Mr. Elias, at least six other Ferguson officers who are a part of the shooting. They've been named in lawsuits. And some of the information that's out there is despicable. I mean, for example, one of the allegations is one of the officers killed a mentally ill man with a taser, accused of pistol whipping a child, choking and hog-tying a child, beating a man who later was charged with destroying city property because his blood spilled on the officer's clothes. So check this out now. So they beat his ass. Then he gets charged for destroying city property because his blood spilled on the officer's clothes.
Wow.
I mean, one of the officers has faced at least three internal affairs probes and two lawsuits over claims that he violated a person's civil rights in using excessive force when working with a previous police department in the mid-2000s. So now when you look at this stuff, it's amazing that, now keep in mind, check this out now, the department that this guy worked for in the mid-2000s demoted him, right? After they found credible evidence to support one of the complainants. And yet, still, he was still hired by the Ferguson Police Department. What does that say, Ms. Elias?
And he didn't say something.
Well, what that says to me, Jay, is that they need to stand up and vote these people out of office. That prosecutor needs to go, man. That the mayor needs to go. All these people need to go, man. I mean, bottom line, If you got a Ferguson is 67% black, why is their mayor? Why are their police officers only got three black police officers? Why do they only have they don't have any black people in office to speak up for who they are, man? Look, if you got 67% black, look, stand up and vote, get these people out of office, get them out, and that's the only way you're gonna win this race. That's it. Go ahead. How much what?
But how much of this, Dr. Princess O.D., falls on us? Because we're talking about, Mr. Elias has said three or four times this morning already, vote. You know and I know for a fact that we don't get out to vote. If it's not the presidential elections, then you don't see us normally voting. So do you think this whole situation with Mike Brown will motivate people to step up, go to the polls, and vote? Do you honestly think that that will change the way we think and process information in Ferguson?
Absolutely. 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 And the more that
there are vehicles like this, like this show, people who have a voice, who are personalities and can actually put that out there, the more this is the case, people are doing things like how we're doing, and people will, it'll build the awareness. I believe that, I mean, Mike Brown is not the first one that's been beaten. You know what I'm saying? So this has been going on a long time.
He wasn't beaten. He was shot and killed.
I didn't mean to say beaten. I meant shot and killed. But he's not the first person that this has happened to. So when we think about, and I was kind of putting my thoughts together, every time I think about Mike Brown, I think about also a video that I saw just last week that just, it made my stomach hurt when I watched, you know, this cop beat this woman, like beat her in her face in the street, you know, and I think about that. I'm thinking about all of the things that has happened. This has been going on for a long time, and that has not motivated us, quote unquote, to get out there and vote. You know what I'm saying? So when you have a vehicle like ours, and we specifically say that, you know, put it back into our hands, make it is our responsibility. What voice do we have if we don't say anything? And more often than not, like you said, we don't vote on when it comes to the things like, you know, the police chief and things like that. We, you know, we talk about it, we scream about it, we're upset about it, but we don't vote. I will also say this. In favor of the people of Missouri, who's to say that they haven't voted, and because it's such a racist state, that their votes weren't put out? Who's to say?
They haven't. They haven't.
How do you know?
They haven't voted. Because,
how do you know?
I was listening to a woman in Ferguson, and she said that they've been asleep at the wheel so long that the Mike Brown case woke them up. So now that they're sending out voter registration cards because they're signing up people to vote, and a lot of people are signing up to vote. So, you know, I'm just being honest. They were not voting. I mean, just being out there, they were not voting. So now she said this Mike Brown case has awoken them, and now that they're signing up people at every rally, they're signing up people to register to vote. They're not sitting on their hands anymore. And that should actually scare the powers that be. Because you know what? If you put somebody in charge that's like you and that are you, you're gonna have some problems.
Well, you know, Mr. Elias, the one thing that I always say, and I appreciate Dr. Princess of what you said about our show being a vehicle, but there have been bigger shows, bigger stages who have been saying these things for years. And, you know, it always falls on deaf ears. I mean, you know, we always say what we need to do. You know, remember back in the mid-90s when we had this whole thing, Stop the Violence. You know, they made all these different types of raps on self-destruction. You know, we have to stop doing these things to each other. We have to get out to vote. We have to do all these things. Rock the vote. Remember the whole thing that MTV had. You know, it still really doesn't change anything. And you know, when it's hopeless for me, I really and truly believe that when you sit back and kind of look at the status of what we do and how we do it, it's very, very, it's mind-boggling that so many people have given their lives for us to step up to the plate and do what we have to do, and it just seems to me that we don't.
Wow.
You know, and it's just baffling to me. It really and truly is. You know that.
It's funny you should say that, Jay, because I was talking to a young brother in the barbershop a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about voting, and he said, "Don't give me that old line about somebody died so I could vote. Give me another reason I could vote." I said, "I tell you what. What would you give your life for? What would you give your life for?" I said, "Yeah, that's what's wrong with the young people today, because you don't give your life for anything. A life is just that. These people gave their life. What would you give your life for?" And he looked at me and said, "You know, I never thought about it like that." To myself, wow. I was baffled. I was really baffled. It befuddled me that this guy would sit there and say, "Don't give me that old story about giving your life." When I asked a young cat, "What would you give your life for?" he was like, "I get you. I got you." So some of these people just don't get it. They just don't.
Very interesting. 347-850-1272 to you. Listening to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGR's radio network, online radio at its best. Like I said, our call number is 347-850-1272. Yes, Dr. Princess Odia.
I was just going to say, they don't get it because on a community level, it's not talked about like that. You know, it's not a consistent conversation. To talk about campaigning and all of that, you know, during the campaign time, you know, people are doing this and that and the third. A lot of people, unfortunately, have taken on defeat. They always say, well, why do I need to vote? It doesn't matter if I vote anyway. You've got parents that say that. Yeah, parents and grandmothers that say that. So then their children say that without even knowing. Because their children is not even, their children are not given an opportunity to even think for themselves. You have parents that are saying, you know, voting doesn't matter. You got angry grandmothers and grandmothers and fathers and mothers and moms and dads, you know, and then they bring the children with the same mentality. So you have somebody like Mr. Elias who comes along and to shed a little light, not much, but it meant the world, and it changed his entire perspective. So you know, that transformation starts at home, family, and you know, then the community, and then we can get them to the polls and all of that.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Let's bring in our political strategist, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, Jerome. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Doing great, man. We're talking about Ferguson, Missouri, 3 weeks later. You know, we talked about what's going on and what's next. And I'll ask you the same question that I asked our colleagues. Do you think that, how long do you think this city will have to wait until justice is served? Or at least see the wheels of justice starting to turn? How long do you think that process will be?
Heck if I know. That is such a hard thing to say when you don't control anything. You know, white folks have this really interesting thing that they draw things out. When justice comes to black people, justice is slow. If there was a little blonde, blue-haired girl who got shot, that fool would have been in jail, the day after, 24 hours. Not even more than that. Grand jury would have been convened. Somebody would have been in jail. All of that would have happened. You're talking 3 weeks later, which can easily be 3 months or 3 years, because that is pretty much how the justice system is, right? Because your DA has to bring charges, right? First of all, how that works is the police only arrest you, but the person who decides on if you're getting charged is the DA. That dude is racist and crazy. He may or may not arrest somebody. And that's why when he said to the governor, if you don't think I'm going to do my job, why don't you just stand up and appoint somebody? And he should have appointed a special prosecutor.
Yep.
Because if he's not, if he hasn't been arrested by now, I mean, we know who he shot. We know that he shot him. And what else do you need? But it's up to the DA to press charges, unless state or federal comes in.
Well, and see, that's what I was saying.
So
why didn't the governor do it, Jerome? That's the thing that I'm understanding. He's saying, look, you know, just like you mentioned, he said, all right, no problem. If you feel I can't do it, then tell the governor to recuse me from the deal. He hasn't done it yet. I don't get why he hasn't done it, Jerome.
He told the governor that.
I know.
He sent that message to the governor. He said, if you don't think I can do my job, recuse me and put somebody here yourself.
So why hasn't he done it yet?
Wow.
When it took me long to do it.
So you're asking me that question like we can answer the question inside of the head of the crazy.
Right.
People are racist. Like, people are racist and crazy. Mm-hmm. Whether anybody wants to admit it or not, when you hold down the line of any kind of culture like that, you are actually making a systemic, you're putting another brick on a systemic culture that we know as racism. So I don't care how friendly your white friends are, when they don't act, when they know that it's unjust, there is something that adds on to that same layer that keeps us oppressed like we've always have been. Right? I don't know how much you have to march or yell or call people names. But that's why black folks call people names, because when you don't have any power, that's what you resort to. So I don't want to hear that whole thing is they're tearing up their own community and this and that. Don't make people seem like they have low intelligence. What it is this frustration, because there's nothing else you can do. That is flat frustration. And to Elias's point, that number that that you may have been looking for under voter registration, they have about 69%, I think, black folks that live in Ferguson. They have about 30, I think it's close to 30% voter registration. That's it. They don't vote. But,
yeah, exactly.
But okay, but don't get that twisted in the conversation, because I don't really agree that we don't see the benefits of voting and how young people are. Young people are going to be young people, right? I vote because my aunts, uncles, mother, father, everybody voted. So when I turned 18, they made sure I vote, and they took me to the polls when I came back from college, right? So I must have missed maybe two votes, three votes in my life probably, and I'm only 25. I'm just joking. But anyway, the trick is that I've always gone to vote. Because our family, like, people have voted in my peer group. Right? That's a social exercise.
Yeah.
It's not a conscious exercise all the time.
Right.
We don't have to get assassinated to go vote.
I'm going to ask my colleagues, if you're moving around or if you're doing something, please mute yourself. We can hear everything that you're doing. So if you're, you know, I don't know what you're doing, and I understand that people can't sit still for 2.5 hours, but I'm going to ask that you mute your mics while you do what you do, because I don't want to hear that noise on the air. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. We're talking about Ferguson, Missouri, 3 weeks later. You know, Jerome, before you got here, I talked about how six other police officers that are part of the Ferguson Police Department, some of the charges that they have been accused of in four federal lawsuits are just appalling. I mean, I read a few of them, and I'll read them again just to get your comment. One includes killing a mentally ill man with a taser, pistol whipping a child, choking and hog-tying the child, beating a man who was later charged with destroying city property because his blood spilt on the officer's clothes. There's one officer who has faced three internal affair probes, two lawsuits claims that he has violated civil rights and the use of excessive force when he worked for a previous police department in the mid-2000s. That department demoted that guy, saying that they did find credible evidence saying that he had actually done these things. And yet still, he was hired by the Ferguson Police Department. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and also the officer that killed Mike Brown, I think he was at that police department that was disbanded because of their, not racial profiling, but some of their abusive issues. They actually disbanded the whole police department. Now, again, you want to talk about how everybody has these things with teachers and we need to get rid of the teachers union and revamp and all this. Get rid of the police union, because that's why a lot of those guys just hide in the midst of all of that chaos, because then you have some guy stand up in front of a mic and say, all policemen aren't bad. Some of them are even my friends. And then we go through all that nonsense, but every time you have one outlier in the black community, we act like black folks need to batten down your kids and save your babies. Like, there are some bad people by percentage in any group that you select, just generally. The police department will not take responsibility for the evil that rides in the police department. And plus, you have to know, you know, there are some Ku Klux Klan history stuff that was playing on the History Channel recently. And a lot of people who take those attitudes take those jobs very intentionally. I mean, it's a part of the systemic problem of having one culture feel like they need to oppress another. So they're taking those jobs in police departments to make sure the bad people don't do something to us. And if they have racial issues, they need to deal with that. But the only people who get diversity training is black people, which is crazy. It's funny and hilarious to me, but I always thought that was pretty interesting. You teach the minorities to be diverse, but you keep teaching minorities to just do what you're doing. We're teaching them to be like, to like you. They're not teaching diversity to them, to, you know, about us.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Mr. Elias, you know, he made a comment about police unions, and I know you're a big union guy. Wanted to get your comments on it. Do you agree with what Jerome's saying, or do you think that there's a different way to handle the situation?
You know what, man? I'm a big supporter and big star of unions, but, hey, man, if it's a bad union, get rid of it. You know, just like anything in life, you got bad in everything you deal with, man, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
If it's bad, get rid of it.
All right, Dr. Princess O'Dea, let me get your final thoughts on this particular topic.
Okay, well, bottom line, it's going to take some time, and I would just invite people who are from Missouri and another state, just be very conscious of it up front. No need to get angry. Whenever you have to voice your opinion about the subject, let's try to do it in peace and let's try to keep peace, because we don't need war on the streets, and we need to be an example, even in this scenario. And there is a lot that can be done peacefully. And we have to remember Martin Luther King, one of our greatest teachers, regarding such a thing as this.
Did we lose Jay? No, we didn't. But I gotta agree. I gotta agree, Dr. J. The bottom line is, we the first thing people do in these instances, and Boba Bright in our chat room is doing the same thing, is assassinate the guy's character. Look, the bottom line is, this young man was shot, an unarmed teenager was shot. So why are we talking about his character? Let's talk about this guy with a gun and shot this guy. So I want to hear that crap about his character. Let's talk about what this officer's character was. He shot this unarmed teenager 6 times in a submissive position. So now you want to talk to me about the character of Mike Brown? I don't want to hear that crap. What I want to talk about is what's fair and what's fair to the fair to these black men that are being shot. So, Boba Bright, you can take that crap and shove it, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, can I say something to that?
Well, no. We have to go to break now. Yeah. Jerome, I'm going to get Jerome's final thought, then we have to go to break. You can say it on the other side. Jerome.
Well, first I want to say that I think that what you said earlier about this is just a small program and whatever a voice, you know, we have, we're just putting that out there, but in much bigger programs have done the same. I think it's how you deliver a message, not who delivers it. So
okay.
It is important that there's always clear thought when it comes down to it, because people are listening. And I think young people are listening as well. Again, we're going to have those people who are always off the rails. But what is going on in Ferguson is just like what happened during the first the presidential election. You have raised people 8 years of voting or being conscious of voting. I don't think that's going to stop. So long as the people of Ferguson get to jolt to make them do something affirming their existence, they'll continue to do it. And I have a lot of confidence in that.
Okay, well said. All right, folks, wow, show starting off with a bang as always. Coming up next, the polls are not looking too good for Hillary Clinton, so if it's not Hill for the Dems, who is it? You're listening to The Serious Side. Sit back and enjoy some smooth jazz, and we'll be right back after this commercial break, and we'll get your phone calls in as well. 347-850-1272. Sit back, relax, we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Venus Williams. You know, I heard recently that the two main reasons for not getting an annual mammogram are limited access and fear. I know that there are low-cost and even free screenings at some hospitals and clinics, and I've even heard of mobile mammogram units in some areas. Talk about service. Look, I know getting a screening is not as exciting as shopping, but life is for living. So take the first step to breast health. Get the mammogram. For more information, please visit breastcancerawareness.com.
Digital.
A new poll from NBC News and the Wall Street Journal show Hillary Clinton's popularity among the general public is falling away. According to the survey, 44% of respondents say their opinion of the former First Lady are somewhat or very positive. That's down from 51% of the support that she received in a similar poll taken in September. Her negative numbers also rose over the last 8 months from 31 to 37%. When Clinton ran for the Oval Office in 2008, 46% of respondents approved of her, while 39% were opposed. The poll showed the Democratic Party is currently more popular than Republicans. Hillary's party was given 38% positive ratings, while 4 in 10 opposed Democrats. Republicans received 29% support in the poll, while 45% have an unfavorable view of the GOP.
Welcome back. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number. 347-850-1272. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio. At its best, it's about 20 minutes before the top of the hour. And you're hanging out with me, J. Rao, of course, the panelists, my dear friend, Dr. Princess Aldea. Say good morning to the guests. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Of course, the smartest man in the world, Jerome Esprit. Good morning, Jerome.
Hey, good morning.
And of course, the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone.
Get out to the phone lines. We had a caller call in right before the end of the first segment, and he had a comment on the first segment. So let's go ahead and get him in here real quick. Caller from New York. Good morning. Welcome to the Serious Side. What's your name and what's your comment?
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Hotep Kenyatta.
Good morning.
I'd like to connect Ferguson to Hillary. We live in a system where darker humans are in this caste system at the bottom. So whether or not we get a degree, Ivy League, non-Ivy League, just got out of jail, in each environment we encounter the same racist problems, corporate world, board meetings, or a brother on the street walking down the street, whether or not the cop likes if you're in the middle of the road or not, there's no need to execute the person. And even at a trial, they wouldn't have been executed. So Hillary relates to this because I know a lot of black folks love Hillary and love the Democratic Party. But if you look at the history of American politics, originally it was the Republican Party that was pro-black. So just like we go from up north to down south trying to find some freedom, nowhere in the American system to date have we been able to find that freedom, which leads me to conclude that either we need to leave America, or since Native Indians were originally Africans, so it's really our land and our black folks were lynched to be here, so it's really our land, maybe we need to change the political, economic, educational system, even when it comes to radio, PSAs, I do shows, try and find radio PSAs about racism. No, but you'll find them about hurricanes and about asthma. So our issues, we can knock our heads against the wall for years, and it seems like the average American doesn't care.
Well, I appreciate the call, brother. Thank you so much for listening to this Serious Side, and don't be a stranger. We'd love to hear from you again. Well, let's talk about that. It's a beautiful segue into what we were about to talk about, the situation with Hillary Clinton 2016. Her numbers are not doing too well. I know Jerome has already said that she will not be the representative for the Democratic Party, and it looks like the numbers are starting to pan out that way. But before we really get into that conversation, just quick thoughts on what the brother said. Mr. Elias, your thoughts?
Well, I thought the brother was right on point, Jay. I mean, whether it be boardroom or president of the United States, we're frowned upon because of the color of our skin. So he's 100% right.
What about you, Dr. Princess Aldea?
Yes, I concur 100% too. I mean, it's unfortunate, but yeah, due to the color of our skin, and you know, I don't like to even seem like I'm playing the race card. It's not playing the race card. It just is what it is. I've come to accept myself, you know. I think a few years ago, if you would have asked me some things, I had just a different perspective. Unfortunately, just not really connected with the reality of what the scenarios are today of our race still. And he's right.
Okay. What about you, Jerome? What do you think about his comments?
I
understand it. I mean, it is very valid, and I actually really understand the fact that we need to take it, we need to accept the fact that systemically that black folks are only accepted when they integrate themselves into European culture. Like, we need to accept that. And once we accept it, you can change it. But you can't change it if you tell them you're going to change it. Because every black person that steps outside of bounds to say we need to change the culture gets pretty much assassinated or labeled as being angry or, you know, or you know, we get stigmas on ourselves, right? White folks created a great word of playing the race card, and we actually say that. Like, it's kind of one of those things that we think that there's something wrong with us talking about our own selves. Like, it's really interesting. Or, you know, like I said, with diversity training. So we're the only ones to get that to integrate us into white culture or white society, opposed to them actually letting in any diversity. So, you know, we need to deal with that in a different way, but we need to be very deliberate when it comes to informing black people generally and not say it in a way that always alerts white folks that black people are actually getting smarter. Because they can't, they won't take it well.
Yep,
I guarantee it. Yep.
Once again, I'm going to ask my colleagues that if you are going to do whatever you're doing during the show, please mute your mics, because once again, we can hear you, and obviously that's not what we want. You know, we talked about, we've been talking about this off and on throughout the year, because the election season is starting to creep up on us. You know, Hillary Clinton is the person that everyone assumes is going to be the Democratic nominee for president in 2016. Well, the numbers, and I know how Jerome feels about polls, but the numbers are saying that not so fast, King Asabi. Her numbers are not good. I mean, matter of fact, there was a poll out this past week that said over 60% of Americans would not vote for Hillary Clinton. So I guess the question becomes, you know, and I'll go with you, Jerome, obviously, on this. When we sit back and kind of look at this whole situation, is this the deal where her negatives are really because of some of the things she either did in the 2008 election? Could it be a situation where folks are starting to rehash some of the things that had gone on with her husband? Why do you think her negatives are so high?
Because she's negative and people don't like her.
Wow.
I mean, I know
that
sounds harsh, but... seriously, there is nothing surprising about that. And I want to say this about polls. It's not that I don't like polls. Some polls are actually pretty good. You just have to get the reputable people who have years into polling to poll. So you need to know where those numbers are coming from.
Makes sense.
That's all. It's not that they're always wrong or anything. It's just that everybody and their mother think they can create a poll, and they usually create polls to sway your opinion. That's why every party has their own pollster to give you the impression of what they want you to have. So it's not that polls are always wrong. But, you know. But in the Hillary case, though, it shouldn't be surprising to anybody, but the brainwashing of the Democratic Party, they kind of got together, all these ex-Hillary people on TV and former Hillary people, they're the ones who've been selling everybody Hillary. And I think I hate to rehash this stuff, but again, you can't make people like anyone. They didn't like her. She's not likable. She doesn't come off genuine. It's going to be hard to, that's a hard sell. But just like that poll said, it doesn't mean the Democrats aren't going to win. It just means the one that this establishment, the hardcore Democrats are pushing, is not going to win. Just like when President Obama won, they were pushing Hillary Clinton then. They're going to push another conservative Democrat to win. Some Democrat that black people are not going to like. And we can't go on air talking about black people, just get out and vote. Just vote. Just vote. You can't do that, because that's why Ferguson is like it is. I'm sure those are all Democrats that won who are oppressing those black people. So you got to weed them out on both sides, because both parties are two sides of the same coin sometimes, and you just got to understand that and get a different pool of people in the party that lets more folks in.
Well, you know, Mr. Elias, the thing that Jerome is saying, it makes all the sense in the world, but Republicans are starting to, they have another, maybe they think something completely different, because they're starting to go after her. they're starting to really go after her because I think they assume, Mr. Elias, that she will be the Democratic nominee. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, some man, that once again, you know, I'm not going against Jerome on this, man. When the brother said that she wasn't going to be the nominee, and he said Joe Biden was, I listened to what he said, brother. And I'm not going against that one at all, man.
Well, we know that. I mean, that's a given. We don't need to. You don't need to announce that.
Good looking out.
People who have been listening to this show know damn well that you'll never go against Jerome. So why even bring that up?
Look, man, Jerome's not often wrong is the problem. So work that out, Jay, first before you say that. It's not like Elias is crazy.
Oh, my God.
He don't say it's wrong, Jordan, either. But you will get on him for that.
Now you're the Michael Jordan of politics. Hey, look, I agree with you, my brother. Go ahead, Mr. Elias, what you thought?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is that maybe she's not likable. Maybe nobody likes her, man, you know. Bottom line, you know, she can be nasty at times. And that was proven in the former election. She can be very nasty at times.
Yeah, but the thing is that being nasty and being able to govern, I don't know. I mean, because we talked about this a few weeks. Matter of fact, last week when we talked about how some Democrats were in a tizzy because the president didn't wink at them or said hello to them. I mean, sometimes you can't got to get past that. That's childish. The bottom line is that if a person can govern, then get them in office. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case with Hillary, but I will. This reminds me of something that we had talked about with Dr. Princess Aldea. A few months back, she told us why she was going to support Hillary Clinton, and she said that she would give us the information a week later. Well, it's been about 4 months, Dr. Princess Aldea. So I guess my question for you is...
I know it's been 4 months, and I'm not near my notes. I knew you were going to do this.
Well, I mean, hey, you can't put it out there on the air and then think I'm not going to remember it. I mean,
you said you would
tell us why.
You never called me to it. I don't know what happened with the show. We had a couple of things to go on, but anyways, you didn't bring it up, and I had my notes ready 2 weeks
Well, I guess my question, but see, here's the deal, and I think this is, you know, I think this illustrates the bigger issue for me is the fact that if you are saying you're going to support someone, your convictions, you shouldn't have to go and do your research because you may get quizzed on a radio show. I mean, you should know this. So even if we never asked you the question about Hillary, you should know, especially if you think that this is the person that you're going to vote for. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, am I wrong assuming this?
What did I tell you? I said...
I don't remember. Why don't you remind us what you told me?
Okay, you asked me who was I in favor of, and I told you Hillary.
And I asked you why, and you couldn't give me a reason why.
Before I make a final choice, excuse me.
Let's make sure. No. If you're going to tell it.
I understand.
Right way.
No, listen.
Okay, I'm listening.
This is not a battle of. I said this is not a battle of what I said because I've agreed that that's what I said. But I also told you that I want you to put in context, proper context, what I said. To you, before I make a final decision on anything, I'm going to have to go back and really research her and then come up with the final. I said, but based on my recall of her and in times when she has spoken and her situation with President Barack Obama now, I said, I believe I will feel more comfortable with her. And largely, I will say this, my comfort also comes from the fact that I really, really, really love what President Barack Obama is doing. And someone who
We're
has
not talking
been
about Barack
on,
Obama.
Listen, someone who has been a part of his team, it already says and it speaks volumes of where they stand as well. So I, myself, of course, and even in my initial admittance to I would be leaning towards Hillary Clinton. But before I make any final decision, I will do research, a lot of research on her before I would say, yes, this is it. That's who I would lean towards, and likely so for me, for the way I view it. So I wish that I could go down line by... Pardon?
Seem like you're on the hot seat here. because you're rambling right now. You are.
I'm not rambling. I'm making a statement because I know how I want to make sure that I get every point because I know where Jay would just go with this, and he would martyr me if I would allow him. So therefore.
Well, I tell you what, let's do this. Let's do it for all our audience because I think we did this before a few months back.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you will have the information the following week. So can
and I
we,
did. We
can
didn't...
we okay, well, here we go. Here we go. We don't have to go into all that. So next week you will be able to tell us why you are considering Hillary Clinton for president.
Absolutely.
Of the United States.
And why don't we
okay.
You know, give me a moment. Give me like 5 minutes or whatever. And I can go down my list or whatever you want me to do. Absolutely.
Okay, fine.
Absolutely.
So we'll do that next
no problem.
We'll do that next Sunday. All right, good to go.
That's right.
It's 5 before the hour.
Absolutely.
Yeah, make sure you do that. 5 before the hour, you're listening to the serious side of the Jay Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on TGR's Radio Network, online radio is at its best. 347-850-1272 is the call number. We're talking about Hillary Clinton. Now, listen, I don't know who will be the Democratic nominee. Jerome has mentioned Joe Biden. His numbers are not doing well. So let's just assume here for a second that it will not be Hillary or Joe. Who is the sleeper? Who would be the sleeper, Jerome? Because no one predicted Barack Obama to win the presidency in 2008. So now, I guess, who would be the sleeper in your mind? If it wasn't Hillary or Joe, who could be that person that no one sees coming up from the rear?
All right. So I want to say this first. Don't say that Joe's numbers are not doing well, for one. Two,
well, that's
is
what
that
I read.
I just want to remind you that George H.W. Bush polled at 89% before he lost his race to Bill Clinton, and Ronald Reagan polled at about 39% before he won his second term. So I just want you to know that that's how your polling lives in this country. Nobody likes the person in charge ever. During the time that they're in charge, until it comes to seeing who their opponent is. So it's not a given that anybody's numbers are doing good or bad technically. The likability factor is more important than your poll numbers because if people don't like you, no matter what you do, they're not going to like you.
Okay.
So no matter how.
So who's the dark horse?
So to answer your question, I can't think of anybody because I know that it's not going to be a fair race if the vice president decides to run because of the amount of support that the president has gotten in the last two presidential cycles. And, again, they were landslides. He was the first president in 100 years to get over 51% of the popular vote both times, 100 years.
Okay.
So I think his administrative policies and that type of style in running can only be transferred to Biden or you're going to have a low voter turnout no matter what you do. The Democratic Party will be dumb to do it, but that doesn't surprise me. I don't think they're that smart either for people to not even understand or to consider that. So I don't know.
So you're
going to have to ask now if I can't guess.
Okay, that's fine. What about you, Mr. Elias? Who's the sleeper out there? Do you think anyone that can come up from the rear that can step in here and win this nomination?
I can't think of anyone either, Jay, to be honest. I mean, who?
I don't know. That's why I asked. Cory Booker, perhaps?
No.
Definitely no. Yes. Really? No.
Is there an echo in here? I mean, what's going on here? All right, Dr. Princess Aldea, what about you?
Who is the sleeper?
Yeah, who's the sleeper? Who do you think that if it's not Joe or Hillary, who? Who in the Democratic Party can step up to the plate?
I really can't even tell you, to be very honest. I'm not even going to try to go around that one.
That's fair
enough.
Next
question.
Now, here's the deal. Let me say this. Now, the thing is, I hear what you're saying, Jerome, as far as saying, that, you know, don't say this and don't say that. No, I'll say what I read, and that's what it said. The poll said that his numbers are not doing well. Now, you can break down as far as why you believe that those numbers are farce, and that's fine. But to say, well, you know, don't say that, you know, Joe's numbers are down, that's what I read. And I've done that for years.
If I read it, that's what I'll say. No.
I'm
not telling you how to run your show. All I'm saying is don't say that, like, he is not going to be a factor because those numbers are down. I was saying don't say that.
No, I don't assume that. I think that he will be. And I think that the president will be in a very difficult position because at some point in time he's going to have to choose somebody.
Why do you think that's a tough decision for him, though? I don't really understand.
I don't know Because I think that because when people have asked him about this, he's been on the fence a little bit about it, saying, you know, Hillary would – he said wonderful things about Hillary. Then he'll say, but you know what, Joe – you know, hey, listen, Joe's my vice president, and I know he can do the job. So he, you know, and maybe that's the way he should do it. I don't know. I'm not a, you know, I don't do what you do. So maybe that's the right way to, for the president to play it. But let me ask you this question before we go to break. When do you think he will come out and say, okay, I'm supporting this person? If Hillary and both Joe Biden decided they're going to run for that nomination, when do you think he's going to step up and say, hey, you know what?
I think what happens behind closed doors is that one will take the lead and the other will kind of step aside. So they're watching polls. The Clintons are cold watching people and they litmus test. But the hate out there is really strong for her. So I don't think that she's going to go through being humiliated. Like, she's just not going to do that. So they're trying to get as far out in front of this as possible to make everybody think that she's going to be their presumptive nominee, right? But once that falls through, it is going to be an easy call for the president to say, Joe Biden knows health care. He actually passed it through the Senate. He knows this. He knows this. And he's already started saying that. Like in some of his quotes over the last year, he's always kind of under – they have enough to do, I don't know how many commercials about how he supports Joe Biden, right? Mm. So it's not a hard thing for the president to do to back the vice president. It's just that he's the leader of the party, and showing favoritism when somebody hasn't announced is just getting them under fire. So what you do, and so as a strategist, what happens is that you don't announce too early because you go under fire. The reason everybody's attacking Hillary is because they don't have anybody to attack. But we should be asking the question, who is worthy on the Republican side, and that's going to be nobody.
Well, that's a good question. Who do you think? Who do you think? You know, listen, looks like Perry's trying to get out here and test the waters. Christie has kept a low profile since that whole Bridgegate, and he's starting to do things to, you know, he's been to Iowa and a couple of places. Who do you think on that side is going to step up and be the Republican nominee?
It's somebody who we don't know. It's going to take a high profile unknown. And what I mean is that they're going to have to either be a governor or senator. It's somebody who's not known. Those guys are a bunch of clowns. They're jokes. Just because when they ran in the last election cycle, that they all disqualified themselves. There is no way the Republican Party can win with any of those candidates. They're very much disliked, and so. The problem is, on the Democratic side, you don't announce that you're going until somebody announces that they're having an opponent, because you're just wasting your time. You got to raise money and do, you have to do media control kind of stuff after you announce. So that's why nobody has to announce, and that's why it's going to take, you know, not until probably beginning of next year that somebody is going to actually announce, especially a vice president anyway, because he doesn't have to. He's in the forefront of everybody anyway. So the guy in the forefront does not have to announce till late. But the Republicans need to have an opponent. If they had a strong opponent, then you would come out and say, hey, here's who's running. But they're not going to do that until somebody comes out on the Republican side.
Wow. Do you think, Mr. Elias, that Ted Cruz will throw his hat in the ring for president?
Ted should throw himself away, man, to be honest. So, no, he shouldn't. He really should throw himself away.
Okay, well said, I guess. All right, tell you what, folks. Once again, show's rolling. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Coming up next, a Texas man was found not guilty when he allegedly took a gun and shot and killed the man who killed his two baby boys. Man, I don't know. I don't feel right about that. We'll talk about it next. You're listening to The Serious Side.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Toxic Style. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident, not for the South. My little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Welcome back. The kind of case really has no winners, only lives ended and lives shattered. A jury in Texas today found a man not guilty in the murder of a drunk driver who had killed his sons.
So 10 after the hour, you're listening to The Serious Side of the Jay Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. At its best, our phone number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. Let's say good morning to our panelists one last time. Let's say good morning to the very lovely Dr. Princess Adia. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing very well. Good morning, everyone.
And, of course, the smartest man in the world, Jerome Esprit. Good morning, Jerome. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Jay. I'm good. How are you?
Doing outstanding. And, of course, Mr. Elias, the one and only Mr. Elias, good morning to you, sir. And we don't have Mr. Elias. Coming up at the top of the hour, it's on the need-to-know basis with our very own Jerome Esprit. Great stuff, very popular segment. Can't wait to hear what he has for us this morning. Always intriguing information. It's almost the news that's behind the news, and it's interesting stuff, and people should definitely stay tuned for that. You're going to enjoy that. That's about an hour away right here on the Sirius side. Well, as you heard on the Post, a Texas man was found not guilty when he allegedly shot and killed the driver, that drunken driver that killed his two sons. Now, if you're not familiar with the story, let me cue it up for you. We'll listen to the story courtesy of CNN's Anderson Cooper. Then we'll talk on the other side. Still, are you back with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, let's say good morning. Why don't you go ahead and say good morning while we cue this up. Say good morning to the piece, Mr. Elias.
Good morning to the big three. Vanessa's with us. We got guests with us.
All right. All right, let's listen to the sound clip, and we'll talk on the other side.
Local media reports saying 2012, David Barajas and his two sons were pushing their truck down a road near their home south of Houston when a 20-year-old man, Jose Banda Jr., a drunk driver, hit and killed the two boys who were age 11 and 12. Prosecutors say the father then shot and killed the drunk driver after being acquitted today. Father said he's still destroyed and missing his sons as always, but a weight has been lifted.
I'm happy. I can move forward with my life. I can start this closure for me. I can proceed with things that I want to do in life with my family and as a person.
Now, the reason why this story caught my attention was because of the fact that, first of all, who can blame a father or a parent when their kids are taken in such a tragic way? But, Dr. Princeton O'Dea, let me start this conversation off with you. First of all, did the jury get this thing right? And second of all, what type of message are we sending if we're saying, okay, look, somebody did something tragic to your kids, you have the right to go and take their lives? I mean, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with this story. Your thoughts? Dr. Princess Ardelia.
I'm sorry. I had myself on mute. And, yes, could you please repeat that one more time?
That's okay. Let me ask Mr. Elias and you can listen after that. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Mr. Elias, man, you heard the lead in. Your thoughts?
You know what, man? I was told that you're supposed to let the law handle and put the law in front of everything, man. So do I feel comfortable with him doing this? No. Do I understand it? Yes, I understand it. I understand his frustration because maybe he feels that the law is not going to give him justice. So did the jury get it right? No, I don't think they got it right, man. Honestly, I don't believe they got it right. But I understand his frustration. I understand why he did it. I do understand it.
Jerome, that's the part that scares me because, like Mr. Elias says, he understands why he did it. And so who knows, the jury may be thinking the same thing. Well, we understand why he went. And now here's the deal. After the kids were, what happened was, you heard the story, they were pushing the truck on the side of the road. It was a dimly lit road. This guy was drunk, and he hit him and killed him. The father, according to reports, walked to his house right? So he walked to his house. He grabs the weapon. He comes back and he shoots and kills this driver. Now, here's the part that makes me feel that I don't feel right about this. He threw away the weapon, and he claimed that he didn't do it. And so, you know, on one hand, if you did it, stand up and say, you know what, I did it. You killed my kids. But they could have got this guy on premeditated murder, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, he his intent when he went back to the house and got the weapon shows a different level of intent. And yeah, they could have, but you know, this is America, and people claim temporary insanity for a lot of things, and being distraught about your kids and not being able to control your emotions and gotten off on technicalities. And there's a such thing called jury nullification, where the jury says, you know what, we prosecuted, you know, X amount of DWI people in here, and people aren't considered of other folks' lives. And then they, again, it's one of those cases where one does not have to do with the other. His motive for killing the guy was because his kids were killed, right? But technically there were two separate actions. It didn't happen in the same motion, right? It didn't happen right at the scene. So since there was a delay, he went home, got a gun, shot him, got rid of the gun. Yeah, you would think that was a whole separate charge. But, again, depending on the prosecution, it could be like the Trayvon Martin case, where I think the prosecution did a poor job of trying to convict Zimmerman. I think you can have malpractice there. I think they do that on purpose sometimes when they don't want somebody to go to jail. So, you know, the system is what it is. It doesn't – well, I don't like that saying. But the system actually kind of protects itself, and it does not it leaves room for human flaw. I think that if the prosecution did not want to prosecute this case and only had to, they probably put on a shoddy case and left the jury with a really narrow option, and they didn't convict him.
And that's the other part of it. You know, you mentioned the fact that it was a very, you know, this crappy situation. And the prosecutor's office has come back and said they respect the jury's decision and that they're not going to retry the case. And it's just, I don't know, it almost goes back to a situation where we talked about O.J. Remember the whole thing with O.J., how, you know, even though he was acquitted in the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson, and Goodman and Goldman, but then they got him on this other charge. It reminds me of a situation where, you know what, we really didn't want to prosecute this guy because all of us are parents. You know, this guy was drunk. His alcohol level was 2 times the legal limit. And because he killed these poor innocent little boys, you know what, he deserved to die. And there's something really wrong with that picture, because to me, that's no different than what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri. I mean, you know, you can't – I don't know. I know there's no better system out there, Ms. Elias, but, you know, anytime you get humans involved with stuff, it's going to be flawed. And this is the best we can do? I mean, why can't the judge come in and say, you know what, guys, come on now. Really? But, but the judge is a human. Hey, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
I understand the father's point. And I don't know if I wouldn't have done the same thing, but the problem I have with what he did was – he lied about it. Hey, be a man. Look, I took that bastard's life because he killed my sons, period. And I'm willing to accept any consequences whatsoever that revolves around it. I'm not going to hide behind the fact that I got rid of the weapon. It's bullcrap.
But do you think that he could plead temporary insanity?
You can't. Well, I don't know. How do you plead that when you walk home and then you come back and shoot him and then you throw the weapon away?
So what? You can be insane. You can be insane and go through
the
whole situation.
Well, I don't buy that defense.
You know what? I've seen people be in situations where the only thing they could say is, I saw black. I didn't remember anything.
Well, you walked all the way home.
I went through the whole
shot and killed this guy.
Yes.
You got rid of the weapon, but you were temporarily insane.
Yes, sort of like sleepwalking.
It's sort of like sleepwalking.
I've had conversations with people in my sleep. The whole conversation. My mother used to do
it. Not about you.
But listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying that I'm using me as an example because I say I'm saying that because I can understand. I can be empathetic to the seeing black. I'm usually not one that goes there, but I understand and have seen people that say, look, I saw black or I see black when I get angry. I don't even remember what I do until it is done. And so, yeah, I mean, in that moment, he could not see straight, maybe. I'm not justifying what he did at all, but I am also saying that I could see him pleading insanity, and I think it could be proven that he was temporarily insane in spite of the fact that he walked up. I should say, even though he walked up.
Okay, that wasn't their defense, but I hear what you're saying. Mr. Elias, man, looks like we have a phone call. Who do we have on the line, sir?
We got our colleague from the J. Rod Show, Vanessa, on the line. She wanted to comment.
Hey,
about
Vanessa,
this.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, everyone. Real quick, I think Jay just stepped in where it says innocent until proven guilty. No one found a weapon. No one for sure knows that this man is at home. The juror cannot convict him if they don't have an eyewitness to say he went home, he got a gun, he came back, he shot him. It could have been some of his guys and some of his friends that shot him and got rid of the gun.
Okay.
There is nothing saying it was this man. Everybody's just speculating as to how this story happened. So what happened to innocent until proven guilty?
Hey, you know what? I agree with you. But my thing is that me as a father, you know, to me, that's a coward. To me, as a father, if I'm going to sit here, if you kill my kids because you were drunk and you killed my precious little girls, and if I decide that, you know what, buddy, guess what? It's time for you to go see Jesus. I'm not going to hide behind, oh, well, I don't know what happened. No, I did it. You know what?
Well, you know
and I'm
what,
willing
Jay?
To face any consequences that comes along with that. Because
well,
I'm
you know
his
what,
father,
Jay?
And
I
to protect
I wouldn't. Him. I would take that to my death. I would take that. I would go to Jesus, thank God forgive me for my sins. I would take that to Jesus with me, and I would go right on with my life. I mean, Jay, I just wouldn't tell it. I'm sorry. I just would not tell that. He's got other children. He's got a wife. He's got a family. He's got other people.
Should have thought about that before he pulled the trigger.
But he lost it for a minute, Jay. It was temporary insanity.
It's not temporary when you walk home and grab the weapon.
Well, Jay, I wouldn't tell it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Appreciate it.
Well, he was insane in that moment. What do you mean?
I wouldn't tell that.
Dr. Princess O'Dea, you weren't there. You don't know if he was insane in that moment or not.
But,
you're assuming that, just like I'm assuming he shot him.
And you don't know that, and you don't know what
that's
you're
what
talking
I just said.
About because you're just assuming.
But
we're
just
assuming
he went home. There's no witness.
Okay.
You can't
fair enough.
There's no witness.
Okay. All right.
Okay. We are
y'all have a
great
day. I'm sitting up listening, Elias. Bye.
All right. Well, you know, I hear what you're saying. I hear you. But I'm telling you what I would do, okay? Now, let me tell you about a case that happened in the military, Jerome, when I was in the military. I had a guy that I had just left this civic center, and there was this lady at the front desk. Back in the day, they used to have greeters, so someone that's sitting right there when you walk into a military concern. It was like a place where where soldiers can go and, you know, it's an activity center. You can go and play music, you can play cards, you can do whatever. Well, this first sergeant, his wife was having an affair on him, and he found out about it, right? And when he found out about it, he drove up to that complex and blew her brains completely out. Shot her and killed her and waited for the MPs to pick her up. He was convicted, and he was thrown in jail because they said it was premeditated because he drove up there and he shot this woman. There was another situation that happened in Fort Hood where a guy walked in and caught his wife in the middle of the act with this man. And what he did was he walked in, he saw what was going down, he closed the door, he made them finish what they were doing, and then he shot and killed the man. And he got away. So, you know, so when we talk about differences, now, and
difference?
He got away because they said he was in a state of shock, that it wasn't premeditated.
Exactly.
He walked in and caught this. His mind was gone. And he was like, hey, don't let me interrupt you. Go ahead and finish what you're doing. this is the last time you're going to do this, because when you're done, it's a done deal. And he shot and killed him, and he got off. What do you think about two cases?
I was going to say this about you when you. I was going to say this about you when you were speaking with Vanessa, that you said that I would have went up to him and told him whatever and would took, you know, the blame or the credit for killing the guy. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
If I was on a jury, I wouldn't convict you for that. I'd be like, Jay lost his mind. That's why I would have convicted you. Seriously, who does that? Right? You must be so distraught that it just put you in a rage and you went and just shot that fool. So you could do that all the way home and all the way back. I'm sure there's always experiences of somebody. I remember somebody stole my bike. I was mad for about 4 days, but when I was with them, like, you can, some things can put you in a frame of mind that you can't shake. I don't care how long you walk, and if it happened within the same reasonable amount of time, depending on what the distance was, you can still make a claim for, that wasn't me, I was just seeing, you know, I was just, you know, I was just distraught. But in the military case, you know, if that was in Texas had that law on the book for years, and I think it's gone, though, but if you caught your spouse cheating and you shot them, they wouldn't even arrest you for that in Texas.
This like was at Fort Hood.
I mean, there was no time limit on it. Yeah. I mean, that was on the book at least for the last, at least until the last 5 or 6 years. I forgot when they revisited it, but if you caught your spouse cheating, you walked in there and killed your spouse, that was a legal ramification because it was being distraught. It's a lack of trust or whatever they call it. I can't think of what the law was. But, yeah, you wouldn't even get arrested in Texas for that. So being in the house and listening or watching or whatever, you could just be in shock, you know. So just because someone – I mean, we have justifiable homicide on the book for a reason as well. You know, if you think somebody else is going to be, you know, get be killed, if you see somebody getting ready to get hit by a hammer and you shot the person, you can't get arrested for that, as long as you reasonably believe that they was going to kill somebody else. So the law, there are a lot of ways to interpret that, but it depends on your defense attorney and the prosecution if they want to prosecute you. So I can't say that, I won't call anybody names and say that somebody's a coward to not take the blame for that, because you have a right in this country to remain silent. And so maybe that guy didn't say anything, and his attorney just went and defended him the best that he could. They were like, long as you keep your mouth shut, I'm not, you know, you're not going to just go to jail just because you did something and said, hey, you know, I should go to jail. Because I'm sure everybody did something that if they told, they'd be like, hey, I was with that cat, and he did this, and I didn't know he had it on him. We'd all be in jail for one thing or another. So we don't go to jail on principle.
You know, I tell you, and maybe it's just something with, maybe it's something just within me. I'm like, look, I did it. You know, I'm not going to hide behind nothing. I did it because you killed my babies. You were drunk, you killed my babies. And no jury in the world, whether he goes to jail or not. That's what usually happens in these cases, Mr. Elias. The person who's the drunk driver usually lives, and there's a family of four or five that gets killed because of this person. And, you know, we're humans. We can adapt to anything. I watch MSNBC on the weekends. I watch Locked Up. Some of those cats are just living a happy-go-lucky life from behind bars. No. You kill my babies, then guess what? You have to go as well, especially behind some nonsense like that. And, damn it, if it ever happened, trust me, I'm going to do it. And, hey, you can take me to jail after I'm done, because that's my responsibility as a father to protect my children. Let's get out to the phone lines, Mr. Elias. Looks like we have a phone call. Who do we have on the line, sir?
Hold on. Jerome, you got something to say?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you say lock up seemed like something more happy than lock up?
Hey, I watched it. Jerome, this show, those guys.
That did not look pretty.
Which episode? Yeah. Hey, look, there were some episodes of these guys. There was one guy they were interviewing, and he was like, hey, you know, he's in there working in the little prison laundry. I guess my point is that we can adapt to anything, right? I mean, if that's your way of life, that's your way of life, right? I mean, it may not be.
Everybody adapts to everything, though. You're not going to totally 100% be depressed, especially with a camera on you. We survive. People are survivors, but there is no way that I've ever watched anything in prison, whether it was Scared Straight or anything, and said, man, them dudes look like they're having a ball in there. Like, they got nice TVs and got cable.
I just said, hey, those guys adapt. I mean, this guy had his little stuff on his hair, and he was, you know, handing stuff out. He had men fighting over him and all kind of, you know, he keeps a little spot cleaned up. You know,
okay, that's mess. Never mind. I'm out. That's
okay.
Mess. I don't mess with that. No.
Let's get to the point. Who do we have on the line, sir?
We got Easy Rider with us, man.
Part of the Big Three. Good morning, Easy. How are you?
Don't make me wait like that.
I understand, Easy. What's your comment, my friend?
I would be in the cell right next to you, Jay, if something like that up to my kid. When this guy messed up at, he shouldn't have threw that gun away. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
He started meditating this and premeditating that. He started thinking about this. And, you know, think about juries and stuff. You know, I have a little experience with them. You know, it could be what the media is affecting them that day. It could be something they ate that day. Decisions they make. There's so many variables that influence a jury. You know, not just race.
Yeah.
God might have a hemorrhoid. Don't want to sit there during the whole trial. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, these things happen, and you know, everybody's tried to blame it on something else. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, that guy shot that guy, and he should have went to jail for it. You know, I mean, my thoughts. I mean, really, should have went to jail for it. We're not going to give him the election chair for it, but he should have done what the law creates. Another thing, Jay, you know, you've got different laws in different states, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, these people move around. Some people move around state to state. I mean, how are you supposed to know all these different laws? Okay, well, you can shoot them here, and you're allowed to shoot them in your doorstep here, but you can't do it here. I mean, we all live in the same country, breathe the same air, you know, but it's different everywhere. The law is different in every single state.
Yeah. You're absolutely correct about that, man. Of course, Easy Man, you know, we feel about you. Thank you so much for listening and appreciate your comments. You know, what he's saying is absolutely correct. This is something I've never understood, and I know this is a bigger picture. How in one state you can get, you know, probation for something in another state that your ass can go to jail for a very long time for. I mean, it just seems to me that this country that we live in, we think it's the greatest country in the world, and I do think it is, but there are serious flaws with what we do and how we do it. And it's bothering me because this guy is getting off. And so what type of message does that send to people out there? I mean, you look at what happened in Detroit, Michigan with that man coming out and shooting that girl on the porch. He tried to claim, oh, well, I thought, you can't take the law in your own hands, regardless of how tragic the situation is, Dr. Princess Aldea.
And you are right about that. You know, you should not take the law in your own hands. But the reality of life is that people do. People are human and hell, you know, we're not pretty much self-aware ourselves, which would really put us in a position to not be so emotional, but rather be very conscious and to think before we act. We would be able to see the bigger picture, and at some point coming to that point of personal development and self-awareness that would have you to be sane, if you would, at all times. Unfortunately, at this moment, most people are not at that point where they cannot respond emotionally, especially in cases where you lose your children. You lose, hell, people do it if you lose your children, lose your job, lose your house. People want to kill somebody. So, I mean, I could go on and on about, you know, the situation and also possible solutions that I know could remedy, occurrences like this. But, you know, as for the case today, he was emotional about the loss of his child, and as a result of that, he committed a crime, and at the end of the day, will he plead insanity? Will he admit that he did it and say, to hell with everybody who doesn't like it? That's to be determined. It is what it is at this point.
You know, I'm going to regret asking you this, but you said you have a remedy and a solution to stop all this madness from going on. So I'm going to ask you to give me a sample of it. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Tell me what remedy that you have that can stop this. Because if you have something that can stop this, maybe you should sell it, Dr. Princess Adia. What's your remedy in stopping this type of behavior from going down?
Oh, I am so happy that you asked me that, and I thank you for the time limit that you've given me.
Not a problem.
Yes, first of all, and I want to be, I want everyone to understand that I am very sensitive to anyone who has lost their child, any, you know, anything like this has happened. Someone has killed their child and you've responded. I'm very sensitive to that and I understand. But allow me to share the remedy. At the end of the day, there's more to life than we all have come to know it. Life has its ups and downs. It has death, and we have life. We have children. We don't own them. We are mere vessels that bring them into this life. They have a true purpose. We have a true purpose. We are made up of three parts. Two parts. We have the spirit. We are spirits having a human experience. We are here for a season. Our soul comes here to do what it comes to do. Our responsibility is to understand what that is and to follow through with it. Many times we don't because of the way we come into life and how we are suppressed in our thinking. As a result of our suppression, we never connect with our truth, which is the spirit, and understanding that we are spirit having a human experience. As a result of that, we respond emotionally and we externalize and connect more externally to everything around us than that which is the greater truth of us. In situations like this, we would, and it may seem far-fetched for many, but once we have understanding of our own truth, a situation where in which our child has died, do you know that more likely we would experience the pain, but we may not so much. We will experience the pain, but not how we are accustomed to feeling it.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to wrap it here.
Okay. Well, allow me to finish my minute.
You're done.
We're
past 3 minutes. We're going on five. Wrap it up in 30 seconds, please.
We would have compassion. We would have understanding. And we would have the ability to let go. And we would be able to release the life that we had and understand and connect with the reason that that child is gone, was the bigger picture of the passing, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We would have a different focus.
Okay.
And
all right. Thank you so much.
So we have to
thank you very
become
much.
Self-aware. That's my line.
Thank you very much. Not sure if that would solve it, but hey, listen, if you're saying that that's the remedy, then we'll take that into consideration. 347-850-1272 is our caller number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to the Serious Side of the Jay Ralph Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. So now we're talking about the case in Texas in the last 5 minutes we have left in the set. If you're just tuning in, well, him and his sons were pushing the truck. Apparently the truck had either run out of gas or had stopped working, but they were trying to push the truck home when a drunk driver came along and hit and killed this man's two sons. This man walked home, allegedly walked home, came back, shot the young man in the head, gotten rid of the weapon, and he was arrested. And the jury acquitted him of the murder charge. And the prosecution is saying, hey, we respect the jury's decision, and we're not going to retry the case. Now, here's the other side of that story. And by no stretch of the imagination, Mr. Elias, am I, you know, condoning what this young man did, because, you know, either way, had he been alive, he would not be around. He would not be a free man. He would have been, you know, convicted of vehicular manslaughter. But this man has, I think he has a wife and a young baby, and he's gone. He's dead. And so what about the family on the other side? I know we're thinking about what happened with this man and he lost his two children, but what about the family on the other side of this?
Well, Jay, all I can say to that is, wow. Here's my question to you. If how did this man make it home, first and foremost? Maybe I'm mixed up about the story. Okay, what you're telling me is that this man walked to his house, got his gun, and then went to this man's house after he
hit his
kids?
No. The guy was still on the scene. The guy was drunk, so he hit his kids. The man was still on
the
scene.
Yeah,
he was still on the scene.
Where were the police at?
Well, there was no police. The police didn't get there until they called him. It was on a very dim. It was on the kind of a rural area of Houston. So you know what happened was they were pushing the truck. Drunk driver hit him. Killed the two kids. So I guess that guy was so drunk he couldn't move, or his vehicle was disabled. I'm not sure what happened at that point. But the father, which apparently they weren't too far from their own home, he walked home and grabbed his weapon and came back and shot him.
Okay. Well, now I got it. So, you know, it's a no-win situation for anyone, man. This guy lost his family. He lost two of his family members. This one that lost her husband and the kid lost his father. So, I mean, there's a no-win situation, man, in this situation at all. I mean, it's a tragic situation, and, you know, the man should have been driving drunk, you know, bottom line. That's just it.
Yeah.
He should have been driving drunk.
Yeah, and I think that's a message for people, Jerome, that sometimes people think they can drink, and, you know, I think it's important for people to understand what the legal limits are in their states. To get behind the wheel is so irresponsible. I hate when I go hang out with some of my friends, and they're drinking and knock down three or four beers, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, dude, what's up with you? You know, and it's really, I don't know, man, it's very irresponsible, and sometimes I've gotten into it with my buddies because I'll take their car keys from them. I said, I'll take you home. I'll whoop your tail. No, you won't. You won't do that, first of all. But the bottom line is that I'll take you home. I just think it's a sad situation, Jerome, that people, you know, take that risk. If you've had two beers, I think you need to really and truly consider trying to get someone to take you home. That's just being irresponsible.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't drink, so, you know, I can't put myself in I normally don't do that anyway, but I can't put myself in anybody else's shoes. But it is flat irresponsible. If you go out drinking, especially if you have friends there and they tell you you shouldn't drive, you should be listening to your friends. Like, somebody needs to be able to, we know alcoholism is a problem. We know that we have, you know, AA and all those other things for people who have drinking problems. I understand that, but you're right. That is irresponsible. And, you know, I have no words to use here to say whether somebody should or should not do something that they know is wrong. Like, there is no way you can justify hitting and killing anybody, whether you're drunk or sober. So
yeah,
sometimes the action of the person, of the victim, sometimes, yep, they go off the rails, but technically you cannot, you know, regulate how somebody is going to react to something that's tragic that happens to them. So I can't judge.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I wouldn't want to be a member of that jury. So before we get to everyone's final thoughts, Mr. Elias, looks like we have a phone call. Can we bring that caller in?
Yes, we can, Jake.
Who do we have on the line, sir?
Let me get to it. Oh, man. Hello, caller 678.
Hello, dude. Hello, everyone. This is Q calling toward the end to make a suggestion.
All right. Good morning. How are you? You say Q?
Yeah, this is Q.
Where are you calling
from?
Q? Atlanta, right?
Yeah, from
Atlanta.
Okay,
that's right. You're at work, right, Q?
Yeah, I'm at work. Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, that's right. Okay, all right. What's going on, Q, man? Good morning. What's your comment,
good
sir?
Good morning. The only thing I can really comment on, because, you know, the whole thing with all the other stuff going on in Black America, just, you know, I just say this, like I say a couple of times when I call into this show. When black males start remembering that they're powerful, all this will stop. As long as black males, through action and application, as long as black males are happy with being gossipers and verbal complainers, this will go on decade after decade after decade, because nobody fears black males the way they did in the 70s and the early 80s. Now it's okay. So that's that. The thing with Hillary, I'll suggest this to you. It really doesn't matter what happens with Hillary. Strategically, she can sit down to the day just after they vote, they've decided who they want to be Republican. The Republican brand is so damaged. It's like a Ku Klux Klan member mixed with a child rapist. No matter who they put forward, the Hillary brand is going to win, because the fact of the matter is, when Bush stole the presidency from Kerry, he crippled the country. You got to remember, the country was okay prior to that second presidency. And so nobody wants a repeat of that. So I'm a Republican, and I'll tell you, brand is crap. It's not going to happen. And that's the two quick hits to remind you about. So irregardless, you know, Hillary's going to win, period.
All right, man. Well, Q, you know, as always, man, keep your head up at work, man. We appreciate you tuning in. And I think he met Bush still in the presidency, still in the presidency from Gore. I think he just beat Kerry. Gore was a situation where they had gone in and Florida decided to pull what they pulled, and, you know, and the rest is history, so they say. All right, man, give me your final thoughts on this. Let me start with you, Jerome. Your final thoughts on this particular topic, sir.
Well, my final thoughts are, I don't even know where to begin, but it is a tragic situation all the way around for the guy and his children, and possibly the guy who got killed. I can't verify that. I don't know too much about that person, but technically you can be distraught. And honestly, I'm kind of with Jay on this one, just to say that if in my past, I don't know about now, I'm a whole lot nicer person now, but in a while, I probably would have, seriously, if I do something ever since I was little, I tell you I did it. So if I need to pull my gun, you better believe I already made my mind up, and I'm not going to hide that and run from it. But at the same time, I can understand that when something happens, there are justifiable reasons for why you can use your gun. So if he did it because he was distraught, and the guy who was drunk was belligerent and whatever and did something to him and he shot him, I don't know what the interaction was, there could be justifiable reasons for using your gun if you felt threatened. So it's a tough topic, and I think I just don't have enough information for it.
Yeah, well, you know, well said, man, as always. Appreciate that. Dr. Princess O.D., give me your final thoughts on this topic.
Well, it starts first in the mind, and that's where the transformation starts. So the bottom line is, these things will continue so long as we are self-unaware and we are unconscious. This changes when we change our minds.
Okay. Well said. Thank you so much. And the man gets the first and last word, as always, Mr. Elias, man. Final thoughts on this topic.
Well, everybody loses in this one, man. There's no winners in this one. When that guy took the chance on drinking and driving instead of catching a taxi, he took a chance on his life as well as everyone's life around him. So this is a losing situation for everyone involved, man. And it's a tragic situation. So, you know, once again, I understand why the man did what he did. Would I do it in the same situation? I have no doubt. If I had kids, I would probably do the same thing. So I can understand why he did it. I just, you know, maybe he thought the law wouldn't do anything for him.
Yeah. I agree with you, Mr. Elias. Bottom line is that you can't take the law in your own hands, regardless of the situation. So like Jerome said, and like you just said, and I'm going to say it loud and clear, somebody would have done that to my children, I would have looked them between the eyes and pulled the trigger. And you know what? I'll deal with whatever happens. All right, folks, we're not done yet. Coming up at the top of the hour, it's on a need-to-know basis. But first, we'll be right back after this very, very short word.
She walks right in my dreams since I met her from the start. I'm so proud I am the only one who is special in her heart. The girl is mine. The doggone girl is mine. I know she's mine. Because the doggone girl is mine.
Those of us who dream of driving a million-dollar car, but one Texas man's dream was to get rid of his Bugatti instead. 39-year-old Andy Lee House pleaded guilty to wire mail fraud this week and could face up to 20 years in prison after he intentionally drove his Bugatti Veyron into a bay. Media outlets first picked up the story in 2009, the year the crash took place. Back then, House told authorities he was reaching for his cell phone when he looked up, saw a pelican, and swerved to try to avoid it. House, however, wasn't aware another motorist recorded the crash. That video supposedly doesn't show a pelican anywhere nearby. Authorities say House left the engine running in the car, further damaging it and totaling the car.
An Arizona outdoor gun range. End of summer. Family time together.
But now we have to keep that held in.
A 9-year-old girl learning how to shoot an automatic Uzi by an instructor.
All right, go ahead and give you one shot. All right, pull out a...
Those fateful last words. All right, full auto.
He just put the gun on fully auto, and he tells her that, and his left hand is holding the bottom of the magazine, where it should be on somewhere closer to the top of the weapon. She looks very uncomfortable holding the weapon, and when she pulls the trigger, he loses the grip on the bottom of the magazine and gets muzzle rise and winds up getting shot.
All right, folks, it is time for, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines. First up, if you can't afford it, Mr. Elias, why did you buy it? My man crashes his million-dollar Bugatti into the river, into the bay, and says, hey, I lost control for insurance purposes only. Now, he put a $2.5 million insurance claim on that car, and they paid him on it. What's your thoughts, my man?
Hey, man, look, dude, you don't crash your Bugatti, man. Look. But hey, if he's going to crash, he should have just gave it to Mr. Elias. I'd have showed him what to do with that thing, man. I'd have showed him what to do with it.
He'd have showed him love for the car, man.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Jerome, have you ever considered crashing your Bugatti?
Well, you know, I don't see pelicans much, so no. I'm going to go with no. Throw our pelicans up this way.
Oh, man. Insurance fraud at the highest standards, boy. That is crazy, boy. Dr. Princess Odia, your thoughts?
And she don't have pelicans, right. I don't think, either.
Well, Jesus Christ. Anyway, all right, so now coming up next, we talked about, you heard the story about the 9-year-old girl. She's had the weapon. You know, God, Mr. Elias, what a tragic situation. First of all, why are we trying to teach a 9-year-old how to use an Uzi?
That one I don't know, but hey, man, if you go to the gun range here, you'll see 6-year-olds shooting pistols and shooting all different type of weapons, man. You'll see 6-year-olds, and when I see that, I leave the gun range. I do. I grab my gun and I leave. You know, come on, man. I don't care what kind of shot you are. No, I'm sorry. No.
Mm-mm. Jerome, I mean, once again, I don't understand why are we trying to teach a 6-year-old how to use an Uzi. I'm 9-year-old. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but some people are crazy, right? So we don't take in consideration the people who are in the, I can't call them backwoods, but there are people who are survivalists and all that other stuff. We have some people in this crazy who are just straight. In this country, that's straight crazy. And so you teach your child to shoot a gun because you're paranoid. You're making your child paranoid.
Yeah, and they're called preppers. That's what I've been told. They're called preppers. People prepping for the end of the world and all this other nonsense.
Yeah.
And on that note, folks, it is time for Chatterbox and his final thoughts from people across social media and in our chat room. Mr. Elias, man, who do you have and what are you at?
I got Covina, man, when he says the majority of my white America embraces police brutality against black people.
Wow, those are strong words. Wow.
Yeah. Also have Easy Rider, when Easy Rider says the lots of incumbents are shaking in their boots in Ferguson.
No, absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. All right, folks, and that's Chatterbox for this Sunday morning. Coming up next, on a need-to-know basis with our very own Jerome Esprit. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Hi, you're listening to Family First with Kathleen Williams. We are who our children are becoming. You are who your children are becoming. Have you noticed that the children of doctors tend to become doctors? The children of lawyers tend to become lawyers, and the children of auto mechanics tend to become auto mechanics, and they're really, really good with cars. Well, the children of overweight adults, they tend to become overweight adults. When you're thinking about what's best for your children and how to raise them to become the best, healthy, educated, confident, well-balanced person that they could ever be, the smartest thing that you can do is look in the mirror. Are you the best, most confident, healthy, educated, balanced person that you can be? Well, your children are watching you. They're taking their example from you. You inspire them. So when you're thinking about the best thing that you can do for your children, the best thing is to be the best person that you can be. You can read more about tips like these in my new book, Single Mother, the New Father. It's available on my website, KathleenWilliams.com. That's Kathleen with a C, KathleenWilliams.com. Inspire your children. That's the best thing that you can do to help them to become the best adult that they can be. You've been listening to Family First with Kathleen Williams. See you next time.
The White House petition website has been bombarded by a series of secession requests. The White House says the scandal involving former CIA Director David Petraeus and General John Allen was a surprise to the president.
All right, folks, it's the top of the hour, and it's time for On a Need-to-Know Basis with our very own Jerome is Free. I can't wait to hear what he has. Jerome, man, don't keep us waiting. What's going on, my friend?
All right, well, just in the house cleaning notes, the U.S. economy grew at an annualized rate 2.4% in the second quarter, according to new figures that was published by the Commerce Department. If you don't know, they revised the numbers up, so it was stronger business spending and exports than they initially thought. So that's the fastest pace growth since the third quarter of 2013. But I know we're in the third quarter now, but they had to revise the previous quarter up. They don't get all the numbers until late, so it was revised
wow.
up. Now, the S&P stock index rose for intraday trading to a record on Monday, topping 2,000 for the first time. And they said it was led by financial and biotech stocks. About the economy. That's why we're picking on the president.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the economy's better. Yeah. And so the White House is crafting a legal justification to back up President Obama's impending executive actions on immigration. Now, he's facing an unexpected onslaught of opposition, of course. The administration plans to argue that Congress failed to provide enough resources to fully enforce the U.S. laws, therefore ceding with wide latitude the White House to prioritize deportation of 11.5 million people who are in the country illegally, is what they're saying. That's a lot of people. you know, okay, so just so that you know, this week, the House Republicans paid Baker Hosteller up to $350,000 in public money plus expenses to sue the president, according to their contract that was approved this week. $350,000.
Wow.
They're doing no work, but they're going to give somebody $350,000 plus expenses to sue the president in something they're going to lose in.
That's
your contract at work.
Yep.
Now, in a story that I found amusing, I don't know if anybody else will, the British Embassy in Washington, D.C. has apologized after tweeting a picture of the White House, of a White House cake surrounded by sparklers commemorating the burning of the White House 200 years ago. Now, the U.S. President's residence, the White House, was set on fire by British forces in 1814 during the War of 1812. And the embassy later apologized for the tweet, and they said, "We met to mark the event in history and celebrate our strong friendship today." By burning the White House. They celebrate that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We were just commemorating the day we burned that mug down. All right.
Right.
Now, a group of people who were caught in unrest in Ferguson, Missouri, after the white police officer killed a black teenager,
They sued alleging civil rights violations through arrest and police assaults with rubber bullets and tear gas. They're suing for $40 million. They're now in court. They should sue them. And by the way, Ferguson Police Department is still suspended. They're not practicing law. It's the county sheriffs that are actually patrolling.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, they were relieved of duty a couple weeks ago. They're not patrolling at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew that, but I didn't. Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're still pretty much decommissioned. They're not allowed to arrest anybody. All right.
Wow.
Now, a man who was shot by police in Walmart was carrying a toy gun. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, I do.
Right.
Yeah. The family looked at the surveillance tape. They found out that the guy was not facing police officers when they shot him. They shot him in the back, and they claimed that he was pointing that weapon at different customers. They shot him in the back,
wow.
But they saw it on surveillance tape this week. And they're not releasing the surveillance footage, but the police did shoot him in the back with a toy gun in Walmart.
Wow.
That makes no sense at all.
I know. In the nature of police lying, and to convene a man's point, you said that you didn't know that there was that much killing going on. The 22-year-old African-American who was said to have shot himself, he shot himself in the chest while handcuffed in the back of a police car. The coroner ruled this week that he did shoot himself in the chest while handcuffed in the back of a police car. Now, Victor White III died in March while restrained in the back of a deputy sheriff's car in New Iberia, Louisiana. The Louisiana State Police initially reported that Mr. White shot himself in the back while he was in handcuffs. But now the coroner said, no, he shot himself in the chest while he was in handcuffs. Now, he was left-handed, according to family members. He died of a gunshot wound after the bullet entered his right chest, perforated his left lung and his heart, and then exited under his left armpit, is what the coroner report state. But forensic pathologists said the gunshot residue in his cuts was seen on his cuts and in his face. So they said that he was handcuffed and he killed himself. Now, his father, who's a Baptist minister, said that, you can't make me understand how my son took his left hand when he was handcuffed in his back and shot himself. I don't believe a thing that they're saying at this point. I say this story to say the Justice Department, I think, needs to come in here, too.
Yeah.
You know, to the point of a conspiracy, the coroner ruled that while the police officers had him in the back of a car, they should have searched him before they put him in the car, and then said he had a gun and shot himself in the chest, not the back, with his handcuffs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Now, I don't know if you guys heard this story, but a cameraman was shot and an armed robber was killed during the fight, during the filming of the police show Cop.
Yeah,
the reality
I saw that.
Show Cop.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Now, the shooting unfolded after a police patrol car accompanied the TV crew in response to a backup call in retaliation to a raid that was taking place at a Wendy's restaurant. So they had a raid at a Wendy's. I have to say this. For reality shows, I think reality shows are going to stop when people start getting killed and stabbed on TV. So I'm just seeing what their response is going to be. I didn't know they were still filming Cops, but that was just me.
Well, you know, Cops has always been somewhat, you know, it's not really hardcore. It's like, you know, they get a drunk guy. I've never really seen them get serious on Cops. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think they edit those shows there, Jay. I don't think they're going to release shows.
Okay.
You say that like there's no editing going on. It's like, man, this is live TV. No, I think they tape them.
Wow.
Now, white students in the public schools in the U.S. are set to become a minority for the first time when schools start for this term. Now, according to official forecasts, enrollment for the 2014-15 school year will mark the threshold when ethnic minorities become the majority. The demographic shift has been driven by the number of Hispanic students, is what they're saying. But the figures declined in the mid-90s. after they said a broadly stable number of black students, but a sharp increase of identified Hispanic students has changed the school system, the public school system. So there you have it.
We knew it was coming.
We knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Oh, now a 600-pound restaurant manager at the OCB restaurant or hometown buffet. He claims in court that he was fired and replaced with someone who is not morbidly obese and who does not suffer from chronic knee pain. So he's suing because he's obese and he has knee pain, and they fired him for that. You can sue somebody for anything, apparently.
Really?
Wow.
Wait a minute.
You just can't fire people because of their – I mean, he may have a point, Jerome. You just can't fire somebody because he – you know, there has medical issues. That's discrimination.
It's not discrimination if you're supposed to walk around and clean up a restaurant. You can't walk. You can't do your
job.
Well,
yeah, but this. Well, look. I'm a former HR director, man. You can't word it that way.
Well, no. That's what he's claiming in court.
Oh,
they're probably just saying that he can't do his job, but he's saying because he's morbidly obese, that's why they fired him.
Oh, okay.
I say if they hired him when he was morbidly obese, he doesn't really have a case. So that's just my point.
Okay.
HR director. All right, so I'm just making my point. Now, I was listening to your show yesterday, Jay, when you guys talked about things that men can do and women can't, and one of them was go topless. I just want to tell you this, because last Sunday was the 7th annual International Go Topless Day, and women around the world marched topless in support of women's rights. Now,
thank
the movement
you.
Also states, as a mission, as long as men are allowed to be topless in public, women should have the same constitutional right, or else men should have to wear something on their chest. So, one of six events around the world. Women gather, but this happens every year. And you know, in New York State, there is no law. Women do that all the time in Central Park, that they go topless on purpose because there is no law that said women can't be topless, and they actually go topless. There's pictures online if you don't believe me.
I just need to come and visit you. So when does this happen so I can come and do a report?
That annual event just happened last week, but they constantly test that. There are groups, book clubs, that they just go topless and they go to the park. Read
okay,
or do whatever.
Jerome. Sounds like I'll be visiting you in August next year.
Okay,
go ahead.
Hey, you know, this week is the New York State Fair, so I'll actually be out there doing radio on Clear Channels today. But if you want to come out anytime, there's probably something going on in New York State at any particular time. Just don't run across the police in New York City. All right, now, here's the thing. The dating website for married people, Ashley Madison?
Yeah,
see, I ain't know nothing about that. But I'm not married, so I don't really care. All right, so they are suing the South Korean government for because they're blocking the website in Korea, and they shut it down shortly after their launch because they said that it was the morality of Korea was not good. So adultery is illegal in South Korea. And so here's the statement from Ashley Madison. This is why I'm doing the story. Ashley Madison denies the accusations, describing itself as a social networking website facilitating communications between like-minded adults like Facebook. I love corporate.
You can cheat on your
wife when they're like Facebook. Well, you can cheat on Facebook.
Wow.
A wanted man was captured by police after he attempted to exchange cocaine-coated currency to a bank drive-thru window, and it resulted in the employees contacting authorities because the one teller complained of tingly and numb fingers after handling money, and so they called the police. The police arrested him, but they tested the money and said that there was nothing on it that was illegal or whatever, but he actually went to jail on unrelated misdemeanors and failing to appear in court. But did you know that It's been reported that up to 90% of bills, like currency in the United States, have traces of cocaine on them. 90%.
Is that right?
Hey, that's what they're saying now. I don't know nothing about that. I believe it. Okay. Now, Southwest Airlines lost an elderly woman last week. A diabetic grandmother, 85 years old, in a wheelchair. She was abandoned for 11 hours after Southwest Airlines forgot about her. She was making a trip from Denver to Newark, where she was visiting one of her daughters, and she became lost in transit. Lost her for 11 hours.
Oh, my God.
Right. Okay. Oh. And a 27-year-old Frenchman was kicked off an American Airlines flight because he smelled bad. He was admonished to take a shower by the crew. So one of the flight attendants said, the crew and its passengers are complaining of your smell. They said, you're an American company. This is an American territory, and the captain has the right to refuse you, is what the crew member said. The guy, and they just said to him, you will not be flying today. So police were called, escorted him off the plane, and he filed a complaint of discrimination against American Airlines because he said, after they told me that, I covered myself in Dior perfume at the duty-free shop, and they still didn't let him back on the plane.
Oh, man. You got to be making this up.
Hey, I'm just reporting the news today.
So, Jay, to
your point for lockup, I got the story specifically for you.
Okay.
Inmates in New York's largest jail, Rikers Island, are regularly treated to gigs by hip-hop stars as a reward for good behavior. So LL Cool J, Tretch from Naughty by Nature were among the big names who performed and for convicts in prison. Now, the shows were supposed to be kept secret. They came to light just a day after it was revealed that David Blaine, the escape artist, performed at one of the detention centers. And he said one of the acts was how to escape from jail. They probably wouldn't have wanted to have David Blaine in there, but that doesn't mean. Now, a spokesman for the Department of Corrections said that celebrities put on shows for free. They're brought in to give prisoners some positive reinforcement. So if you don't know, Rikers Island houses up to 15,000 inmates at one time. It's a huge jail. And by the way, no. You going to go to jail to see LL? I'd buy it. Like, I don't want to see none of the food in or out of jail. That's just not my thing. I'm not feeling festive to be yelling, are you down with OPB, at nobody's jail. That's me.
Okay.
All right. And here's the irony of policing in America. The prison officers were angry because they believed that they deserved a free show, not the criminals. You can't have nothing. That's awesome. Oh, you know, and here's something that happened, speaking of black people being under constant threat. A film and television producer on the way to the Emmys pre-party said that he was falsely detained for 6 hours by officers at the Beverly Hills Police Force who claimed that he fit the description of a black bank robber. Now, the Harvard graduate, Child Salk, who's 51, uploaded a photograph of himself on Facebook, handcuffed and sitting on a curb with two officers standing over him after he was pulled over because he was at a restaurant, and all he did was go put more money in his meter. So he wins an Emmy, right? Award-winning executive said that he was surrounded by police officers, and then he was denied a phone call, and he was released just before midnight. So they booked him on a $100,000 bail. He said he was treated with contempt by the arrested officers. They let him go when they reviewed the videotape and realized the bank robbery suspect didn't even look like him. So the Beverly Hills Police Department said that they have apologized to him.
Let
him go.
Thank you.
They
booked
him on $100,000 and they said, "Oh, my bad. This is where we need to sue the police department."
This is really alarming, to be honest with you, when you really think about the whole picture, man. This is sad stuff here. I mean, my God.
And the funny thing is, again, we get tired of doing those news stories, but technically it is why major media doesn't show them. Because once you do Ferguson, if you do the other 8 to 10 stories about police officers harassing black people, they think that they're going to cause an uprising in the rest of the world, and that's not white entertainment. So they won't show them.
Well, that is sad. All right, man, we have time for one more, Jerome. You have one more for us?
All right, yeah. So if you're in Switzerland, I did this story before, but in Zurich, the drive-thru brothels have been held a success by Swiss social services. It's a year after they first opened up. It was an experiment in Switzerland's largest city. It began in August, and it was their first municipal drive-thru brothel.
Wow.
It is in an old industrial area. And they hoped that the initiative would help slash the number of sex workers on the street. So while at the same time offering a safe place to work, all of them was not happy about the arrangements because authorities admitted that the complaints of earnings have fallen since the new initiative began and that it's too far from the bars and clubs. But running the drive-thru costs 2 million euros or $2.6 million to set up and has proved to be more costly than thought. But they said it's been successful. So the workers who agreed to take part in the scheme did, however, get a permit, paid taxes, and they used the drive-in's creature comforts, including a laundry, a shower, and a cafe. They could have had a nice Starbucks. That would have been the bomb, like a mall. But anyway, that's just me. All right, well.
Damn.
Let your imagination run wild in there.
All I can say is POTC, and I'll tell you what those initials mean on Wednesday. All right, man. Appreciate you, Jerome.
Hey, wait.
Thank
it was
so
successful.
Much.
That's why I did the news story. It was a successful experiment.
There's nothing
wrong with it being successful.
Anytime that's involved, I'm pretty sure most of the time it will be. Thanks, Jerome.
Okay.
All right, folks.
All right.
It's time for an NPR News update. We'll be right back with our final thoughts after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Joint forces from the Iraqi army and Shia militia men have broken the siege of the Iraqi town of Amirli by Islamic State militants. The town had been cut off since mid-July and was relying on airdrops from the U.S., Australia, Britain, and France to provide food, water, and other humanitarian aid for the 15,000 members of the minority Turkmen community. The BBC's Jim Muir says residents report some army units are now inside Amirli.
What we're being told by the Kurdish Peshmerga fighters here in Tuzkomato is that, in fact, yes, the joint forces, mainly of Shiite militias and government forces, have penetrated into Amirli from the southwest and the southeast. While the Kurds have been, and we saw it ourselves from frontline positions, bombarding the area very heavily, and also government aircraft have been carrying out airstrikes. There's been a lot of celebration here. You can still hear a bit of gunfire, and that's not hostility. There's actually celebration by the people here that Amirli, the siege of Amirli after 2 months, does seem to be broken.
The BBC's Jim Muir reporting there. Meanwhile, Australia's Prime Minister said today that Australian planes will soon begin delivering military equipment to northern Iraq. The U.S. is pushing to build an international coalition to fight the Islamic State militant group. The U.S. is welcoming a decision by European Union leaders to prepare tougher economic sanctions against Russia for its actions in Ukraine. Leaders want a list of new measures drawn up within a week. British Prime Minister David Cameron says reports of Russian soldiers on Ukrainian soil unacceptable.
Well, it's a deeply serious situation, and we have to show real resolve, real resilience in demonstrating to Russia that if she carries on in this way, the relationship between Europe and Russia, Britain and Russia, America and Russia will be radically different in the future.
There are divisions over more sanctions within the EU, though, mostly centering on Russian natural gas. Ukraine will be a key agenda item at this week's NATO summit in Wales. Peacekeepers from the Philippines have pulled off what the Philippine military chief says could be called the greatest escape. General Gregorio Katapang spoke in Manila today after the 40 Filipino peacekeepers in the UN-patrolled area between Syria and Israel successfully evaded al-Qaeda-linked insurgents.
The Syrian rebels attack on board pickup trucks. Our peacekeepers returned fire in self-defense. Our troops fought back bravely and successfully held their positions after a 7-hour firefight.
Another 35 Filipinos were escorted out of a separate UN encampment in the Golan Heights, but it's not known where a group of peacekeepers from Fiji are. The head of the Fijian army says negotiations are being pursued. Pressure mounting on Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif to step down. Police have been clashing with protesters in Islamabad. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
All right, folks, it is time for our final thoughts. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. A lot of great topics, and as always, we appreciate you being a part of what we do. But it's time for final thoughts, and ladies are first around here. Dr. Prince, I'll do your final thoughts.
Great show today, great show and topics. I just want to say this. What you allow and accept in your life says everything about what you think of you. So I invite everyone to come to discover your true life purpose, because in that, you are defined. That defines you, and in that, you will find your truth, your happiness, your joy, and fulfillment in every area of your life. And honestly, not until then. I want everybody to create a fantastic week. Don't forget to tune in to the Transforming Detroit television show. You can see some of the a couple of old archives that have aired on the television network and at TransformingDetroitTV.com. Don't forget to tune in to the Superfluous Development show and visit me online at Facebook. SoundCoolGroup.com and also Dr. Princess Adelia on Facebook. I love every last one of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerome, man, final thoughts.
First I want to say, you know, when I spoke about police unions earlier, I don't believe in breaking unions for the sake of breaking unions. I think they need to change their policy and stop giving them so much power to dictate the fact that they have bad officers and that we should not be able to do something about public officials when something happens to the public. I think we need to take a different look at this. And also I want to say that in black-on-black crime news, I missed this one, BET on 106 in Park said something stupid about Beyonce's child's hair again. So Stephen Hill, the president of BET's music programming and specials, publicly apologized, and he said, last night, 106 in Park, there was a stupid, unthoughtful joke made about a young child. He said he apologized to Beyonce and Jay-Z privately, and the person who made the joke did not write it, and he said, we apologize for putting her in that position. So the producer, I guess, who wrote it has been suspended.
Wow.
Say that.
Well, appreciate it, man. As always, brother, appreciate it, boy. Beyonce and freaking Jay-Z. All right, Mr. Elias, man. Final thoughts, my brother.
Peter.
Man, I just became the happiest man in the world, man. I just got a notification my girl will be here in the Chicagoland area, Layla Hathaway. So, hey, man, I got to run. So, all those, thank you for coming out. God bless and good night.
Wow.
You know, the bottom line is that even though we're kind of having fun towards the end of the show, there were some very troubling things that we're starting to notice about our country. You know, I've always been proud of this country. I've always said that America is the greatest country in the world, and I still think it is. But, you know, more and more we're starting to see cases where the police are really and truly exercising their right, their unlawful right, to sit here and oppress people. And it's just shocking to know that I may get stopped by the police, and if I make a quick move or if he doesn't like the way I look, I could be killed. I mean, this is serious, folks. And anytime you live in a country where a grown man can straddle a woman and beat the hell out of her while cameras are rolling, and they know cameras are rolling, and they really don't give a damn, makes this a very scary, scary, scary place. And on that note, Mr. Elias, if it is Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
This is NPR.
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rao Show.
You know, live radio, it's a boogaboo. So for Jerome Esprit, for Dr. Prince's idea, and for my main man, Mr. L.E.S., I'm J. Rao telling you to make it a great weekend. Enjoy your Labor Day. Be safe. And like my man said, if it is Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side of the J. Rao Show. God bless. We'll see you next week.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.